Morning. Merry Christmas. I have a card here to read. This is thank you and God bless you. Many, many thanks to all the lovely for all the lovely gift baskets, gifts in the gift basket. My heart is full of gratitude for all the love you have shown. Love, Naomi. So, to everybody who contributed to the gift baskets for the widows, be thanked. This evening, 4 o'clock, is our song service here at the church for Christmas Eve. And a reminder that our annual meeting is January 20th at 1 p.m. Any prayer requests or any other announcements? Rafi will give us the Advent reading this morning. And Miles will do the psalm, and Jordan the prayer, and Tom the message. I'll start.
Okay. Today we light the fourth candle, the angel candle, or the candle of hope, or the candle of love, along with the candle of hope, preparation, and joy. The angels announced the good news of a Savior. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah the Lord. Now this is not the King James Version, if you were wondering. God sent his only Son to earth to save us because he loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son to the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. John 3:16 and 17.
Thank you. The psalm reading for today is 1 Luke, verses 26 through 38. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her.
God in our Savior and ours, the blessings are. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the privilege of gathering around your word, especially at this time of Christmas. We thank you most of all for sending your son, Jesus, to be our salvation, to suffer the things that we deserved and to pay the price that we're not able to pay. And we thank you especially for faith in that. It's through faith in Jesus we find eternal salvation. And pray for everyone here today. Pray for the speaker. Open his mouth. Open his understanding. And pray for the listeners that the word would strengthen us and give us what we need for today and strength going forward. Pray for all those who are not able to come out and gather for health or distance or whatever reasons there are. We know that there's a lot of strength in gathering with other believers. And we pray that you would be with all those who are alone also this time of year. And throughout the world, we pray that the message of Jesus would go to those who have not heard, and that even some would come to believe still. We pray for each family and each person here today that we could remember the true meaning of Christmas and the coming of Christ. And let us pray that perfect prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Grace, mercy, and peace to all the saints from God the Father and His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through that Holy Spirit who guides and directs our steps in the faith. So if, is this on? Yeah, okay. As Miles read Luke 21, 26 to 38, and as you see, I have two verses chosen today. There's a few verses I will be reading, and we'll kind of go, just because it is the Christmas, the night before Christmas, and we want to just cover some of this stuff, and it'll just, it's just a reading with maybe a few points, and then I'll get to the text. Chapter 2 of Luke, and we'll read it in Jesus' name. Verses till 18. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made by Cyrenius, was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told of them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And if you look in Matthew chapter 2 also. Start at 118, actually. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, for being interpreted is God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is this that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes to the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, Thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the thing, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east, and went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently acquired of the wise men. So we have the Christmas story. When we read the story of the wise men, we read the story of Herod the king, and we read the story of Jesus' birth, it brings to light that a king is going to come into this world, a savior. Someone that will save the people from their sins, because they are unable to save themselves from their sins. You will have a Lord who will not only reign, but he will lord over his own. What does that mean? He's the Lord of your life. He's the most important being, the most important thing, the most important conversation, the most important man, and the only true God to every individual that comes into the kingdom, to every son and daughter that's born of Christ, that's born from above, that's taken from darkness into light. He reigns over our life. He is of much importance, and his name is preeminent. Meaning it, he means more to you than anything. Anyone? Any job? And his reminder comes to you every morning. You wake up in the morning and the first thing you recognize, because you're the child of a king, is that still small voice. It says, "This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Because there might not be another day. There might not be another day that happens for you. But this day is the Lord's day. And how do we rejoice? We recognize him as preeminent in our lives. Not because we've read our Bible, and not because we go to church, and not because we do things for him. It's because what he has and is doing for us. We are a son of God, the Almighty God, who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and said rest on the seventh day. Christmas time is about rest. There's lots of hustle and bustle and presents and buying things and trying to get the perfect dinner ready and going to visit family. And there's lots of family from out of town here that have come to visit family here. Your brothers and sisters in Christ from other churches have come to spend time with their family this time of year. It's so important. Do yourself a favor. On Christmas morning, if you've got a lot of guests, a lot of people staying at your place, get up an extra hour early. Spend some time just reflecting on the birth of Christ. How you do that is how you do that. It might be in the Word. It might be through the Holy Spirit. It might be just in quiet peace. It might be just thinking about him, focusing on his birth, where he came into a manger, because there was no room for him at the inn. It wasn't the innkeeper's fault. It was tax season. There was no room. He was meant to be born in a cave, a stable, a manger. He was meant to be born there. It was prophesied. It was God, his son, was going to come in as a servant, as a child. And why is that significant? Because servants serve. They learn. Jesus had to learn. It's hard to believe that the God of the triune God, the Son, had to actually learn things. He had to learn because he was 100% man and he was at the same time 100% God. And we've got to remember what he left in heaven. He left his father, an intimate relationship with his father. All things are perfect in heaven. There's no sin in heaven. It's beautiful there. He left to come down to enter the story of mankind. Why? Because we're fallen, we're depraved, and we're at the same time in need of a Savior. Our hearts are lowly, broken, and contrite. So the birth of Christ, grace enters, and the birth of Christ begins through faith. There's lots of family here that are glad to see family coming to visit. There's going to be apple pie, pumpkin pie, turkey, stuffing, ham, you name it. lots of presents to be opened. But the greatest gift is the birth of Christ in your heart. When that happens, you're sealed until the day of redemption. When that happens, you're changed. When that happens, you become new, a new creature, a new creation. All things are removed. Your sin is removed from the east, it's from the west. And the light that's in you, that speaks of in John 1, 4 and 14, starts your life, the new life in Christ. The new man has dominion over the old man, the flesh, and the devil. This is a good thing. This is a beautiful thing, because now you're in his kingdom. You're in the kingdom of light, and you're not in the kingdom of darkness. Your desires have changed, and you're in light. It is such a reflection on this time of year what he's done. And there is important things to building relationships with families and friends and at this time of year, but not over the importance of Christ. If he's preeminent, take an hour. If he's important to you, if he's really your brother, it's not like you can pick up the phone and call him. Take an hour. And whatever that hour is, that will make your day. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If we look to John, which is the text today, which is verse 1, 4, and 14. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And 14 says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Christ was life, and the life was the light of men. The life that you have, the light that you have inside you, is your life. The Spirit that dwells, that shows you how to love, that compels you to do good, that restrains you from doing evil, that focuses on Jesus, focuses on his resurrection, focuses on his authorship. He's the author and finisher of your faith. He started it, he will finish it according to his will and way, and fruit will be given, much fruit will be given and granted from your life. So if you have life, if you're alive, and the life was the light of men, and it says here in the fifth verse, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The Christian shines in darkness. The unbeliever, the world, the flesh, and the devils don't comprehend it. Why? Because they're blind to it. They don't understand it. The only way they will understand it is if their heart, if they've been broken, lowly, and contrite, and grace entered into their heart, and faith begins. That's the only possible way. The only possible way is if God enters. God now finally starts the program. How does the program start? You're broken, lowly, and contrite. God enters and then reigns. He reigns over your life. He lords over your life. And it is beautiful. And he loves us so much. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This word is a living word. It's alive. It comes out on the pages, and you absorb it, and you read it, and the Spirit in you receives it and goes, wow, this is unreal. So we have a living word, a living Christ that was made flesh, that decided to come into this world to be born. What for? So that he could pay for the sins of the world. So that anyone, the whosoever believeth on him, shall have everlasting life. He also dwelt among us. It's interesting, you hear this, that hear different people say that God can't look upon sin. And Jesus for 33 years looked upon sin. He saw sin happen for 33 years. He experienced sin on the cross for the first time, so that you wouldn't experience death, but you would have his righteousness, and you would be able to live with him forever, eternally in heaven. We beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Jesus is the Son. The Son of God. Anyone who does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God will not see heaven. You have to go through the Son to see the Father. What happens with us? We are the gift from the Father to the Son, the saints. A gift offering as the sons and daughters of Christ. We are the gift offering to him. In the 17th chapter of John, it's very clear in there, in the 20th, he wills this to happen. How does he will it to happen? Because he's 100% God. He's the God-man. The glory of as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What is grace? Unmerited grace is something that is given to someone that is struggling. Someone that is lowly. Someone that basically can't move, take a step forward or step back. They're finding it difficult to live any longer. They're finding it difficult to move. They feel boxed in. They're at a point where they just want to give up. Grace enters. The favor of God enters. He favors you over his Son. His Son's the one that paid for your sin. Once grace appears in the heart of the believer, faith begins. Faith begins in not what I do, not what I have done, not what I will do, but what he will do through the clay vessel. Through his power, through his will, through his way, through his love, through his conviction, he will steer the vessel in the right direction. And when the vessel decides to take control of itself, God will put obstacles there so it steers towards the right path. God is a loving God. And he's also a jealous God. And there's no way Satan's going to take you away from him. There's absolutely no way. Because he's decreed it. Just going to read a few verses here, John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Pretty self-explanatory. The only way to come to Christ is, the only way to come to God is through Christ. Galatians 2:20. I'll read 19 too. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. You have a changed heart. You have a circumcised heart. It's been changed. You don't live the same way you used to. And if you do, I guess the question is, have I been changed? But you shouldn't. There should be a light inside you that shines brightly because of the love that God has for you. And it shines brightly and you reflect the light to other people. The joy of Christmas and the joy of the birth of Christ should be a reflection of what's in your heart. Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. This faith of the Son of God. See, Jesus has faith in you that you're going to keep what he has given you, because he is directing the steps. He's coordinating the thoughts. You are taking the steps and you are doing the action steps. However, he is encouraging it through the love of the cross. The picture of the cross is so beautiful. He gave himself for me, God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's very personal. Loved me, gave himself for me. So what does that mean? We love others because he gave himself for me. We don't look to others and say, well, that person doesn't really love the way God would. You look to yourself. You see your own frailties, faults. You see your own sin. You recognize your depravity, but also you recognize who the author is. And he's made a change in you. And there is a visible change. There's a spiritual change in you. You have changed because of the birth of Christ. You have changed because he loves you and because he is directing. He gave himself for me. If you look at the Proverb 30, 1-5, and this is the father to a son, but you can take it from God the Father to you. The words of Agar, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy of the man spake unto the Ithiel, and Ucal, surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy. It's interesting where this person is starting from. Lowly, broken, contrite. He's much lower than God. He says, surely I'm more brutish, I'm depraved than any man. There's nobody like me. And I have not the understanding of a man. I don't understand things. I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. And the next verse. This is a man that he's saying, I don't know anything. Who hath ascended up to heaven? These are the questions he's had. Or descended? Who hath gathered the winds in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who had established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Sounds like he knows that there's a father. Sounds like he knows there's a son. He just wants to know the name. Sounds like a pretty wise person. You could just stop at four. Because he starts in a position of lowly, broken, and contrite. Just looking up another verse here. Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Notice the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord, searching. Spirit isn't capitalized. We recognize as Christians that we are 100% the saints in the world. We recognize that we are the light in the world, a dark and dark stained world. We recognize our role is to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, Him crucified, rose again, standing at the right hand of God the Father. And at the same time, we recognize that He has made, He's prepared a place for us in His kingdom. He's preparing a home in heaven. These are all biblical truths. But you start off from the candle of the Lord searching all the inward parts of the belly. We recognize who we are, where we've come from, where He has taken us, where we are going. There's no question about that. It's not a matter of us denying it. It's going to happen. We don't question what God has instilled in us or put in us. We recognize where we are. We recognize where we've come from. We recognize where we're going, all because of the grace of God. Because He favors us over His Son. The proverb of today ...24th chapter of Proverbs says, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is the house builded. The house of the clay vessel. Through the Father's wisdom, it's built. And by understanding, it is established. He understands how frail you are. He understands where you come from. He understands that you need a Savior. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Love, patience, virtue, meekness, temperance. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and the multitudes of counselors there is safety. This you could internalize this so much. One of my favorite Bible verses is it's in Romans 9. He says, I am the potter, and you are the clay. Have you noticed the clay vessel changed? Have you noticed your brothers and sisters changed? Have you noticed the desire in their hearts have changed? Have you noticed their faith has become stronger? If you have a brother and sister in Christ that you've known for 25, 30 years, have you noticed the change that God has done in them? Have you noticed you changed? Have you noticed that you care more about the people around you than you used to? Have you noticed that the relationships are more important now than they ever were? The older you get, the closer to the judgment day that happens. When God says, blessed come to the Father. When Jesus looks at you and hugs you and kisses you and says, you're home. You're home. Hey, let me come show you the place I made for you. Let's talk about this place. Isaiah 43, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thee thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up. To the south, keep. To the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. You've been created for God's glory. The glory of God is in you. You're created for His glory. He is the covenant keeper. We recognize that we're the covenant breakers. But He is the covenant keeper. This Christmas season, the birth of Christ, the preeminent one, the soldier of the cross, the author and finisher, the one and only, the Alpha and Omega. Can we give him an hour of time? Of course we can. He's most important. He is our life. One of our brother's favorite verses. I'm not going to mention the brother, but Romans 12:1-4. This is what happens to the Christian when the birth of Christ and they're born from above. They're brought out of darkness into their magnificent light. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of glory. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, our life is in Christ. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Do we understand that? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We can't live without him. And he can't live without us. He's the covenant keeper. He's the author and finisher. So when you say Merry Christmas, when you talk about the birth of Christ, the gift of Christ was given to everyone individually that is saved. The ones that are saved, the ones that know Christ, the ones that know where they're going because of the work of the cross, the ones that every morning you get out of bed, he's there. Middle of the job, he is there. Right when you're about to swear under your breath, he is there. When your daughter or son's crying, he is there. When your wife is crying, he is there. So when you prepare a meal at Christmas time, remember, he's preparing a house for you. In Jesus' name. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let us close with 21.